If you do not receive a red outline, if you raise your hand, Chuck will get you one. That'd be great. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 13 this morning a little bit, and we'll be jumping around in the text a little bit as well, all right? It is officially Love Week, culminating in Valentine's Day. It's also Super Bowl Sunday. How many excited about watching football later on? Eagles? You know, Dallas is my team, you know that. Not really. My son, Sam, is a super Eagles fan down there in Florida. He's all charged up anyhow. So hope you have a great time. That's a lot of fun. I remember, in fact, I just texted my buddy. He's out in California now. He was a police chief in Weehawken, New Jersey. We used to go to his house every Sunday, late afternoon, for the Super Bowl party. I loved it because while all the guys were watching the game, I was eating. All right, I didn't care less about the game. So, and this guy was an Armenian, not Arminian, Armenian. And those guys can cook and desserts, and man, we had a good time, didn't we? That was great. And I'll call him and ask him how it's going later on. I'll do that. Right. All over this week, and it started not this week, but before, you can find roses for sale, chocolate-covered strawberries, cards, stuffed animals. What else are they selling? What else? Candy, those little cinnamon hearts, and there's still time. I think Tim showed that on the screen last week a little bit. There's still time to get someone special, that special token, all right? That's a good idea. I hope you do. You know, if you've been in the Word of God for a while, love is a huge, huge topic. There is no way we could cover any of the immensity of it all. And by the way, you're here this morning because God loved you and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for you. So the fact that you're here is a token of God's love. So what we'll do this morning, we'll remind ourselves of a few key truths. All right? Psalm 13, according to the Lutheran scholar C.H. Lenski, probably others have said this as well, is known as the Psalm of Love. Brian read a psalm this morning. Lenski says Psalm 13 is the psalm of love. It's not, and you know this, it's not given as a direction for a happy marriage, all right? Rather, a radical correction for a problem in Corinth teaches us how to live in a Christian community in a way that glorifies God. And ultimately, like we said this about the Psalms, ultimately, 1 Corinthians 13 is fulfilled perfectly in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, you'll see that a little bit. The main idea or main thought I want to weave through our time together is this. This is what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us very boldly, very dogmatically. Tells us this: everything minus love equals nothing. Everything minus love equals nothing. Can you repeat that with me? Everything minus love equals nothing. There used to be that song, Nothing from Nothing is Nothing. Remember that song, Billy Preston? I think it was Billy Preston. All right. Five observations this morning. Number one, let me mention to you a sign of the times. A sign of the times. This is mentioned, I believe, in the Scripture to not just tell us how bad things are, but to be motivational for God's people to go into high gear. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul tells us about the sign of the times, and I want to point out one sign of the times, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Remember, this is Paul's last letter to Timothy. Paul's going to die soon. He's discouraged a bit, and he wants to encourage Timothy because Timothy's going to be taking over the ministry, and Timothy has a tough ministry among the churches. He said, Paul says, but understand this. In other words, pay attention. That in the last days, by the way, is now. Paul, when did the last days start? When did they start? You. When did the last days start? The ascension, right?
After 40 days.
Okay, right. And when are they going to end? Everybody pay attention. I'm picking on you this morning, okay? the rapture or the return of the Lord. Okay, so that period between the ascension of the Lord Jesus and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is known as the last days. And Paul says here, understand this, in the last days there will be times of difficulty. Last days are now. And by the way, if you look at the text closely, it seems to indicate that there will be periods of peace. There will be periods, there will be not the whole time, but there will be periods when there will be very, very difficult situations. By the way, we in the United States, and you know this, are experiencing right now a time of wonderful peace, are we not? I just heard the president say the other day, he was signing in some kind of declaration that he is not going to let people persecute Christians right now. That could change quickly. We also know across the globe, there are many believers being tortured and losing their lives for the gospel. So we need to take full advantage of this period of peace. And that's why we want to get some good literature here. And as we gave out those little cards during Christmas, let's get these cards out right now, okay? Paul seems to indicate that right now, let me say this. When Paul talks about what's going on here during this last day period, I personally believe he is describing the professing church, not the lost world. The lost world has always been a problem, all right? They're just anti-God. Paul is talking about what's going to be happening among people who name the name of Christ but have never truly trusted in him as Savior, all right? Okay, and he goes on here, and here's the problem found among those who might name the name of Christ. And if you're taking notes, here's the problem. The problem is misdirected love. Misdirected love. They're loving, but it is misdirected. Follow the text with me. Verse 2, beginning of verse 2. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. I remember hearing that on a radio, Christian radio. We were told that we need to love ourselves. No, we don't. We need to deny ourselves. Okay? Go down to verse 3. Latter part of verse 3. They will not be loving good. Verse 4b. They will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then when Paul gets done with this description of how people are going to be acting, professing believers are going to be acting during the last days, he says this in the end of verse 5. He says this, and this is kind of strong, avoid such people. Avoid such people. Why does Paul tell us all these things? He wants to motivate us to do the very opposite. We want to do the very opposite. We want to have properly directed love. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, in describing last days, says this in Matthew chapter 24, 11 and 12. He says, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And listen, because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Misdirected love, love cooling down. How can we, by the way, counteract this end time situation of misdirected love? How can we do that? Let me give you about four or five ways, I think, that you can make a difference here. If you want to jot this down on the back of that red. Nance, can you write on that red note? It's kind of dark. It's okay. I use it because it's Valentine's Day color. That's okay. Well, I know what to do with all the red paper we had, so we use it this morning. Okay, all right. Here's some things we could do to make a difference. Number one, we could focus on the words and works of our Lord Jesus Christ. Study the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that more, okay? We can counter this end time situation by being really concerned about our prayer life, firing up a bit, right? We can, according to Galatians 5, 16 and verse 22, that the whole issue of love is supernatural. If there is to be Calvary love, it's because the Spirit of God is producing it in our hearts, even though we're responsible to be loving. And that's the fourth thing I want to mention. We can make a difference by just obeying, being loving, having better directed love. And then we can make a difference during the end times by telling someone about the love of God. through Christ Jesus. That's why we have literature for you. That's why we'll get other things for you. It makes a big difference. Roman numeral 2 on your outline. Back to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to look at, and see, you know this, we just read it. Some of you have memorized this. But I want you to notice a shocking declaration. A shocking declaration. In 1 Corinthians 13, first three verses, and again, as I said, we know it, so it's not going to hit us as strong. Paul makes to the church a rather shocking declaration to these Corinthian believers. All right, he's just gonna knock them over. He's gonna knock them over. It's sort of, well, I won't go there. The point we want to make here is that everything minus love equals what? Everything minus love equals what? Okay, so far so good. The Corinthian values were misaligned. This church had all the wonderful supernatural grace gifts of the Holy Spirit. And before we jump into 13, let me say that there's nothing wrong with having spiritual gifts. In fact, spiritual gifts were very, very valuable. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, Paul says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Earnestly desire the higher gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, after Paul talks about Calvary love, he says this, pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. The real issue here is, as we've been saying, without love, nothing really matters. No matter what you have or what you can do or what you think is that important. Go through the text with me, and I'm not going to be real detailed this morning, but in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, he says, and remember, when we're going over these things, the Corinthian church put a high priority on these abilities coming from their non-Christian background, okay, their culture. He says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, all right? And we're not sure if there is a different language of angels or not. Most of the time, I think all the time in the Bible, when the angels are speaking to someone, they're speaking in the language they understand, right? So Paul is saying, no matter what I can do language-wise, if I have not love, it is really nothing here. In fact, it says, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. When he says clanging cymbal here or gong here, he's saying, this is just you're just being annoying. You're just making noise. We're not talking about the sweet sounds of the K Zildjian cymbals, okay? I've been studying that this week, too. That's another story, okay? We're not talking about those Turkish beautiful cymbals. We're talking about noise. Verse 2. Look at verse 2. And this gets even stronger. He says here, if I have prophetic powers, and if I can understand all mysteries, and if I have all knowledge, and those were highly valued among that culture, and we value them too, right? If I have all these things, verse 2, if I have faith, all faith as if to remove mountains, and those are all great things to have, but have not love, I'm nothing. And I can hear the church arguing with Paul as he's saying this. You know, what do you mean? What do you mean? Having all these things would be wonderful. Then it gets even worse. He says in verse 3, if I give away all that I have, what more would you want? And if I give my body to be burned, that's martyrdom. That's giving away everything, giving up myself. And he says here, but have not love. It's a waste of time. I gain nothing. It is worthless. That's some strong stuff. That's some strong stuff there. Bob Lapine, you may know that name. He was the announcer with Dennis Rainey, Family Life Today, for several years, and he is the announcer on Alistair Begg's Bible teaching program. You would know his voice. But he wrote a little book. Well, it's not a little book. But he wrote a book. It is quite convicting. Love Like You Mean It. All right. And I'm going to recommend before we end the service today that you read a book on marriage once a year. All right, Dr. Chappell does that, and he told us to do that. It's a good idea just to get a good book on marriage once a year. This guy is really good. But Bob Lapine says, I didn't like this. He said, you can have a very nice marriage. You can have a very successful marriage without Calvary love. You can do everything right in marriage. You can do everything right in life, in seeking to serve God even, but if no Calvary love at the center, you have what? The N-word. What is it? Nothing. That's strong. We don't like that. I don't like that. Let's define for a moment what we mean, what the Bible means here when it uses the term love, or it's agape love here. That's a particular word for love. A love, by the way, might just be overused in our day. We overuse that word all the time, don't we? We love everything, don't we? What do we love? Claire told me you love ice cream, right? There's the newlyweds. What else? What do you love? Chocolate and coffee, but that's like. What else do you love?
Pizza.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can go through all the P words. There's some that you get $5 off of the shirt today. Says I love Wawa, but I thought I'll pass on that one. Okay, we just got it's over the edge. We love everything, right? We love everything. I remember years ago now, everything's years ago, being at a rally. It was an arena, and there are thousands of men there, thousands. And they had as the worship leader Michael W. Smith. How cool was that? And he's usually at the keyboard, but he was at the guitar. He just got out there in front of thousands and thousands of men, and he's leading worship, and it was really a fun time. And when he got done, and I was way over there in whatever section it was, I think he looked at me. And he said, I love you. I felt so good about that. I went home saying, Michael W. Smith, you know him, right? He just said he loved me, and I thought about that later. He doesn't know who we are. Taylor Swift does the same thing, but that's another story. Okay, she loves y'all, not us here. For a while, everybody, I don't do this, but for a while, every conversation is ended how? By saying what? Yeah. Is that bad? That's a good thing, okay? That's a good thing, I think. Depends who you say it to. You know, my father never, I can't remember my father ever telling me that he loved me, but I knew he did because he sacrificed. I never, ever doubted that kind of thing. And by the way, I'm going to be a little tough here, I think, but it's great to tell people you love them, okay? That's okay. Don't leave here this morning and say, Sutter said we can't ever say we love you. No, that's fine. You can do all you want. When Paul mentions love in 1 Corinthians 13, if you're taking notes, write down what Amy Carmichael called this. Remember Amy, we looked at a couple weeks ago? Amy Carmichael called this Calvary love. Calvary love, all right? There's a affectional love in the Bible. We'll mention that. John Stott, great Bible teacher, is with the Lord now, says, agape love or Calvary love, here it is the sacrifice of self in the service of another. And it might not bring feelings one way or the other, okay? The sacrifice of self in the service of another. Dr. Alistair Begg, Pastor Begg, says, and we could quote tons of guys, he said, Calvary love is a vow to choose to act. Since God loves us so that we can pour out our lives for others, it is not necessarily emotion or affection. By the way, is emotion or affection bad? Is that affectionate brotherly love bad? No. 4th of July. I was up there in Dover. Chuck's gang up there made sure we had free fireworks and everything else. So I went up there. Our Cambodian relatives were with us. So we said, hey, let's go see the fireworks. So we went up there and we laid out a blanket. And kids were all excited. And I remember I was laying on the ground there in the grass, Chuck. And I probably told you about this before. I had little Micah and little Ezra, one on either side. I call them the Chinga brothers, little guys, man. They're like monkeys. They are. Laying down, And they were scared. They were getting close. We're watching these fireworks. I thought, life doesn't get better than that. You know, that was wonderful. I remember some things I forget. This I'll never forget. I remember when we first had three children, not all at the same time. We didn't do that, triplets. But I was laying on a bottom bunk bed, and I had baby John laying on me, and I had little Amy crawling around, and Sam was crawling around. And I said to myself, life does not get better than this. That's true, right? I don't want them laying on me now. They'd kill me, okay? It's just like, keep off, especially the bad leg, okay? Keep off that. Is that bad, by the way? That's good. That's a gift of God. That's not what Calvary love is. That's not what Calvary love is. According to Matthew, and I want to go to Matthew 5 for a moment, this kind of love may have affection with it, but it is the matter of the will to act whether there's a response or not. Whether there is good feeling on the other end or not. There may not be good feeling on the other end, okay? There may be rejection like they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus says, okay, I'm going to jump up to 43. I don't think that will project. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus is going to correct that. They didn't hear right. But I say to you, love your enemies. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Say that again. What do you mean, love my enemies? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, so you may represent God. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your Father, Heavenly Father, is perfect. Love is a matter of the will. It is a very basic element of Christ-likeness. One more here, and we'll move on. Romans 13, Paul says something quite fascinating. You know what it is. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. And remember, Paul was the great Jewish scholar, knew the Old Testament inside out, knew all the law, regulation. Paul says this, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Back up to verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. You want to fulfill all those commandments and rules and regulations? Practice being loving. That's what he's saying for the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's powerful. That's helpful. Well, Roman numeral 3, just before we get back to 1 Corinthians 13, you know this, but love, Calvary love, is a real symbol of Jesus. Calvary love is a real symbol of Jesus. Not crosses, not the sign of the fish, not flags. All those are nice things. But if you want to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, you need the symbol of love. You need to become and really fan into flame that Calvary love in your thinking and your action. A couple verses here to back that up. 1 John, and John, the aged apostle, was the apostle of love. He talks about this a lot. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, by this we know love, that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's how we know the love of Christ. He died for us. He died for us. 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. That's the symbol of God. Verse number 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then I want to read chapter 4, verse 16 as well. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. One author says, love is the greatest because it alone stretches into the future age. It is the badge of being a serious disciple, being really a disciple at all. Jesus said very clearly in 1 John 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Again, only the Lord Jesus Christ, as I tried to say before, can fully fulfill all the characteristics of love. By the way, Roman numeral 4. Here we go. Fourth on your notes, and we'll just survey this a little bit if we're back to 1 Corinthians 13. Calvary love can be explained with 7 descriptions. Don't worry about writing these down. You can if you like. But let me give you 7 descriptions of Calvary love. And we looked at some of this once before. All these descriptions start with the letter P because we Dallas guys like to alliterate. Okay, we just do that. Okay, so here's 7 P words, stretching this a little bit. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, Calvary love is patient. It is patient and kind. We know that because in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is a word in some translations. Bears up with provocation and people being a nuisance without complaint. It can do that. After God's patience and kindness to us, and that would be a valuable study at this point. Number 1, love is patient and kind. This may sound different. Second description, according to verse 4, the beginning of verse 5, Calvary love is proud. Is proud. And what I mean by proud is it puts other people's first. Okay, it's not that kind of sinful pride. It's putting other people first. Look at the Bible here. Love is patient. Love is kind. We read that before. Here it is. Love does not envy. And envy here means being jealous to the point of boiling. It does not boast. In other words, it does not parade itself. This one's really important because there's a lot of this going around today. It says Calvary love is not arrogant. In fact, Calvary love is the opposite of being arrogant. A lot of arrogance today. First, John chapter 3, verse 20. John chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to look this up. This is a good verse to write down and to pray over. John chapter 3. Sounds like Christmas out there. Sounds good. Okay. John chapter 3, verse 20. I got the wrong text, Tim, so anyhow, I'll find it later. Okay, anyhow, it says here, back to 1 Corinthians 13. Sorry. Should have checked that. It says here, love is not rude. Verse 5, it is not rude. You know what rude is. It says, love, Calvary love, does not insist on its own way because it's concern for others. All right? That's, you know. And it says here, it is not irritable or resentful. It is not provoked. And provoked here means always ready for a fight. It is others-centered. All right? It is not proud. The verse I wanted, and I misput it here, it says where John the Baptist, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, says, he must increase, I must decrease. Boy, that's a good one, right? Find that for me. It's John 3. All right, that'd be great. Number three. This is important. According to 1 Corinthians 13, latter part of verse 5, in some translations, changes, but the ESV has a note here. This Calvary love is always ready to pardon. In other words, does not keep an account of wrong. Always ready to forgive. Always ready to forgive. There's some crazy thinking about forgiveness in the evangelical community, and I want to recommend very, very highly. Dr. Cohen just did a paper on forgiveness, which is worth reading. I think he put it on our website. If not, we'll ask him to do so. You find that text for me? What did I say? 320. Okay, I'll find it. You're right. Thanks, Brian. John 3:30. Write this one down, okay? John 3:30. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. The Greek says, it is necessary. It is necessary that he increase. It is necessary that I decrease. Boy, that's a good verse to pray over, is it not? All right. Number three, we said love is always ready to pardon. Number four, Calvary love protects. Calvary love protects. Verse six, does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Calvary love wants to hear the best. Wants to hear the best. It thrives on good news. Here it says, rejoices with the truth. Practices being quiet about other people's faults. That's why we appreciate what Amy Carmichael does when she calls it Calvary love. Calvary love. Number five, this love is persistent. And maybe I changed this earlier this morning. This love is not only persistent, but this love, Calvary love, is permanent. Everything else is going to pass. Calvary love is persistent. It is permanent. Chapter 13, verse 8, love never ends or never fails. There's no end to practicing Calvary love. The Lord Jesus Christ loved his disciples all the way to the end. And by the way, all these other great gifts and abilities will pass. Paul doesn't tell us when, but he says they're not going to be permanent. But love continues. It is persistent. It is permanent. Number six, this love is positive. Positive. Latter part of verse 5 says, does not keep records of wrongs. I change this to, love keeps records of rights. There's a song we used to sing. Some of you guys probably still sing this song. Remember Home on the Range? Mitch Miller, I have that on Reel to Reel. You know, Home on the Range, where the what? Where what? Seldom is heard. You got it. You got it. I have some friends, they've been out here to preach a couple times, and they're good Bible teachers, but they can be tough. There's one in particular who emphasizes this characteristic. This man comes to mind, Pastor Mark Crocco, and we're praying for Mark because he's going through this week. I need to forward you that text. He's going through another bout of chemotherapy, and he's had the Whipple surgery, and he's been through unbelievable pain and frustration and fatigue. And wouldn't you agree, Tim, if there's a man of grace, a man of being positive, and he'll call you up and just say, hey, Dave, just want to let you know I love you, and super, super compassionate. Boy, I think we need to be more like that. Number seven. I'm just adding this one here. Love is prayerful. Calvary love is prayerful because it's hard to be unloving when you're really praying. J.C. Ryle, and I love Ryle's readings. Ryle said, he loves me best who loves me in his prayers. And I know I've used this before, but I remember being out there at West Coast and listening to Dr. Paul Chappell talk about some of the tough things he has been through. And Dr. Chappell went to an older pastor, R.B. Ouellette, and said, what do I do about certain situations? And R.B. Ouellette said to Pastor Paul Chappell, said, you know what I would do? I would pray about the situation until the feeling changes into a positive feeling. And Dr. Chappell did that, and he says, it's amazing what God does to your heart when you want to exhibit Calvary love and you pray for other people. It's just amazing. Colossians chapter 4. Let me find this. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says this. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Love is prayerful. One more this morning and a couple thoughts. Number one, there's a serious consequence for a Christian not to be loving. Remember, we tried to say this morning that everything minus love is what? Nothing. Say it again. Everything minus love is what? Nothing. Okay. Being unloving is And just not cultivating it can be a very, very dangerous and serious thing in your life. Revelation chapter 2. And if you have your Bible, I didn't give these to Tim to project, but turn to Revelation chapter 2 for a moment. Chapter 2 and 3. I want to look at two or three verses. Two churches in particular. Our last words, our Lord's last words are recorded here. Some of his last words to the church. And they weren't always positive. And the big message to the churches was to repent. Church at Ephesus, you know this because you've read this many, many times. Church at Ephesus was a great church, great pastors, great leaders, great teaching, but something happened. Something happened. We don't know. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, 4 and 5. Jesus says, he says, you're working hard. You deal with false teachers. When it comes to the word of God, you get an A+. However, I have this against you that you have abandon, you have slipped from the love you had at first. And whether he's talking about love for the Lord Jesus Christ or love for one another, could be both. The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's not what it was. It's not what it was. And he says here, remember verse 5, therefore from where you have fallen, remember where you were, repent, repent. Do the works you did at first. And if not, if you're not going to get back to that Calvary love being expressed in obedience, I will come to you. I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. If you're not going to be a loving church, what's Jesus saying? If you're not going to be a loving church, I don't need you. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? That is really strong. We ought to think about that a little bit. We get to the last church, Laodicea, and I personally believe, and I could be wrong about everything, I know, but I personally believe that the church of Laodicea was a real church. These were really believers. I have some friends that have been here. They say, no, they weren't really believers. I believe they were really believers, okay? And we could talk about that another time. But Jesus says this to the church at Laodicea in chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. This wasn't an evil church, okay? They weren't bad people. They weren't teaching false doctrine. They weren't running around with strange women. They weren't like that. They were just apathetic. And being apathetic means you're being excited about the wrong things. Not just that you're lazy. You're just excited about the wrong things. And Jesus comes to them and he says, this is the head of the church. Jesus says in verse 15, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would you were be either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm, there's no effervescent Calvary love here. And you are neither hot nor cold. I will spit you out of my mouth. And then he says this. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, eat with him, he with me. I will fellowship with that person. What's he saying to the Laodicea? Repent, get your act together. Get your act together. Get your act together. Because everything minus love is nothing. What can we do there? Here, just a concluding thoughts, a couple concluding thoughts. Number one, what can we do? Number one, on my list, make sure that you accept God's love for you. All right? While we were yet sinners, what's the verse say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? God so loved the world that he did what? That whosoever believes in him should not but have everlasting life. Make sure you're trusting Christ. Make sure your faith has found a resting place in the person and work of Christ on the cross. Christ's death on the cross, totally, totally sufficient. It's not Christ and something else. It's Christ and Christ alone. But let me say this. Let me say this. This is going to sound strange, and we may have to have a conversation, and that'd be all right. God's particular love being that is available right now has an expiration date. I told you about those free Wawa coupons I got, right? And Doug was so kind, he gave me his. So I had a lot of Wawa coupons. But you know what? Those coupons had an expiration date. And while they were good, I could go up to two Wawas, man, that's almost heaven, you know. I could get a free hamburger after 4 o'clock. I could get a free latte. I didn't even know what one of those things was or were, a latte. I said, I'll take one of those things. And wow, man, did they charge you up. And all this free stuff. But I had to get it by the date. I have a couple of those coupons left. If I go to Wawa today, and it's Super Bowl Sunday at Wawa, they're all excited because they're making a lot of money today, a lot of money. And if I go up and I punch in the thing and I go to get my free whatever it is, what are they going to say? They may say more than that. They may tell me, you, go away, we're tired of seeing you. I'm serious here. The day of opportunity for you is going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. Either if you reject Christ in this life, that day is going to come to an end. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to take full advantage of God's love. Second thing you could do if you know Christ, you could read, and here's an assignment for you. You could read 1 Corinthians 13, only 13 verses, once a day, and meditate over it. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13, once a day, and just be thinking through it slowly. Let it sink in. Read it in a different translation for some freshness. That will make it even. Ask the Holy Spirit to change you. Number three, third thing I want to mention is, and I mentioned this before, read a good book on marriage once a year. At least once a year, okay? Love Like You Mean It. Boy, this one's strong. Hide this from my wife. My wife reads a lot of books. This is good. This will go for the jugular vein. That's the kind you want to read. A good Christian book. And if you need some titles, I got a lot of titles for you. Don't read the stuff you buy in the junk stores. Read some good stuff, all right? Number four, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, the one who modeled love. The one when they were hating him, putting him on the cross, spitting at him, he still loved them. He still loved them. He still exemplified love. Put your eyes on Jesus. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus think? And then if you're taking notes, if you're not, that's okay. Last thing I want to say is celebrate Valentine's Day to the glory of God, okay? Yeah, go for it, you know? You know, just do it, you know? There's another one I wrote here. Get going. Be loving, okay? Be loving. That's another one. Anything else you want to mention? What do you think? Anything else, Paul? Is that enough for now? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your love that has no ending to it. May we not take it for granted. Lord, most of us here know enough Bible to know that we are to be loving people. And we can't do that apart from your grace and your Holy Spirit working in us. Lord, thank you for the conviction that comes from the Spirit. Thank you for these opportunities. And may we take full advantage of this peaceful period we have in this country. May we take advantage for the gospel's sake, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.